are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, July the 31st, and basketball is back finally. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. We made it. More than 4 months of no NBA action, and now we've got NBA action back. Glad to have it. Today we're actually doing something a little bit different. We're doing kind of a wide-ranging discussion about the restart, and just because we got to react to it, it's a big deal. So bringing in the heavy artillery for this one, and that's right, older brother Brian Shook. How's it going, Brian?
Not bad. Thanks for having me. First time, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we watched the games together here. We're hanging out this week. So good to get this done. But give me a follow on Twitter, listeners, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans got things started off on Thursday night on TNT after a long, long wait in the middle of the Orlando bubble, a 106-104 victory for the Utah Jazz. Comeback, I mean, they were down for most of the first half. Made a little bit of a run. Rudy Gobert was the story of this game, 14 and 12 for him. Scores the first basket of the restart, makes the winning free throws at the end of the game. Brandon Ingram of New Orleans misses a three-pointer near the buzzer there. 23 points for him in a strong game. Zion Williamson, 13 points in just 15 minutes of action. A little bit of uncertainty whether he would even play because he was left the bubble for a while, came back, practiced only a couple of days. But really an entertaining start. All things considered, you didn't know how rusty these guys would be. You didn't know how much the atmosphere and the bubble would take things away from maybe the on-court performance. But, Brian, as we kind of talked about during the game and as we talked about getting ready for the show here, it was a lot more like a regular NBA basketball game than we might have expected for this kind of situation.
Yeah, and even after watching some of the exhibition games, I was still kind of up in the air if that intensity would be able to be matched right away, if the feeling would have been awkward, you know, as opposed to watching with fans in the stands. And there really wasn't that much difference. And I mean, it was a sloppy game, but it held my attention throughout. It was sloppy, but that's to be expected after these guys took as long as they did off between or with the shutdown. So I was really surprised at the normalcy that it felt an NBA game down the stretch with playoff implications has felt in recent years.
Yeah, and it was – I felt like the players were maybe getting a little bit tired towards the end of the game, but that's completely understandable to get out there for 48 and a lot of guys getting a lot of minutes, maybe even more than you might have expected for the restart with some of those stars out there as much as possible. But one guy who wasn't getting as much minutes as maybe you hoped for, I guess, as a viewer – is Zion Williamson, who only played 15 minutes, but played well when he did play. But as you noted while we were watching it, man, Alvin Gentry can't just slide him back in there for the last couple minutes, maybe even the last possession when they needed a bucket. Strange to see, but I guess that's a sign of the times, right?
Right, yeah, I was just mystified. I just kept seeing, like, there's 36 seconds left. There's, you know, I think it was 6.4 seconds left in the last possession, something like that. And it just seems like you've got one of the, you know, top 10, you know, certainly top 20 right now basketball players in the world. It seems like it would make sense to throw him in there to see if he could make something happen, or at least as a decoy. I mean, why not have him just sit over in the corner and open up the floor for the whatever option you wanted to go with?
Yeah, and of course you understand where they're coming from with the long-term investment they have, the injury that he had earlier this season. So certainly organizationally it makes sense, but man, this is a New Orleans team that's right in the thick of that playoff race. I mean, they got eight games to make this happen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're right in there with Portland and Sacramento and Phoenix trying to chase the Memphis Grizzlies and get into that play-in game. And a loss, you know, you're lost one of your eight games already, and now you're really behind the eight ball in terms of trying to get up to that ninth seed. So, I mean, they might look back and say, man, Zion could play 3 more minutes maybe at the end of that game and gotten that win. But hats off to the Utah Jazz for getting it done. But Rudy Gobert, like we said, I mean, symbolic. And, of course, the controversy for passing along the virus, if that's what happened, with Donovan Mitchell and the acrimony in that locker room there for a couple of days in Utah was kind of the first story of the shutdown when Rudy Gobert was the one that tested positive and acted the way he did leading up to the shutdown. Just strange how the poetic nature of sports happens again, that he's the one who gets the winning basket and the first basket in the game back.
Yeah, you don't think you could script some of this stuff, as crazy as it happens everywhere, you know, and Rudy being at the center of all this and, you know, having that symbolic first bucket and then actually coming right down to it and hitting the big free throws down the stretch kind of fits perfectly into what has become the most unpredictable year of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of full disclosure, we're taping this early third quarter of the Lakers-Clippers game. Watched the first half there, and it's just nice to see some of the world's best athletes getting after it. Of course, Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and Anthony Davis being those ones we're talking about. And it'll be interesting to see when Lou Williams gets back and Pat Beverly gets big minutes for the Clippers. Reggie Jackson getting the start for the Clippers as well. Brian, how should Pistons fans feel? I mean, Reggie Jackson, a lightning rod for some good reasons, but a lot of bad reasons for his time in Detroit. As a guy who, you know, you grew up in Royal Oak and a Pistons fan yourself too, are you rooting for Reggie to get this done, get a ring, and to play well here in the playoff stage? Or, I mean, how do you kind of feel about it?
I mean, what did the guy do wrong? Okay, I'm cheering for Reggie Jackson. That's probably ultimately the point there. He's a high energy guy. I think that's going to really, he's going to play a significant role down the stretch for the Clippers. And I think in those moments, I'd like to see him succeed.
Absolutely. And I think most Pistons fans feel that same way. And obviously the injuries were the number one issue with him in Detroit. But you think back to 2015, 2016, when he had such a strong season, so many great fourth quarters, leading to some comeback wins and some closing the door type of wins, getting to the Pistons, a young Pistons team to the playoffs in a promising first round sweep to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And of course it didn't go that well for Pistons fans and beyond, but the action will start at 2:30 today with a full slate of games every day this weekend. ESPN's got games on Friday night, Saturday. They've got games all day on ESPN. ABC has got the Blazers on at 3:30 and also a night game. So it's a strange setup there. So Sunday night, nationally televised game on ABC. So good stuff for the weekend ahead. And I'm just happy the basketball back. But stay it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March. And now that it's here, I've got one thing on my mind, my bookie. My bookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it. You love it. And that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. My bookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams. And with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, there's never been a better time to start playing. With my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out my bookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future. And in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. My bookie is already accepting bets on your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB futures wager. How about those Detroit Tigers? All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we talked about kind of the nuts and bolts and what went on the court on Thursday night, but I kind of want to step back and give a little big picture talk because, you know, for the last couple weeks at least, maybe even more than a month, it was always, what's it going to look like with fans not at the game? What's that going to be? Is it going to be jarring? Is it going to feel like real basketball going into the playoffs? And we talked about in the first segment a little about how the intensity is pretty good. But I want to – and I know that it's like the lamest Twitter joke in the world at this point to say, well, you know, the Detroit Pistons have played without fans for many years at Little Caesars Arena now. But, and I will say this as a real point and not as a joke, that watching Pistons games really kind of gets you into the atmosphere of watching games without fans, because it really didn't seem that jarring to me. The NBA did a pretty good job. They got the fans on the big board behind there. They got the players kind of staggered on this bench in a few rows, to the point where if you're just watching the game play while it's going up and down the court, and you glance at the courtside, what would be the courtside seats, those really nice seats, there's people there. You know, there's people kind of in that area, and then the other team staff is there as well. So it's not like there's some wide open spaces where there would be fans. And then there's a little bit of a space before that big screen, and you got the fans behind you. And of course, like, that's the main angle that you see watching a basketball game. So you could kind of trick yourself into thinking there's fans there. They got the crowd noise pumped in. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being overly optimistic about how it all looks and how it all sounds and how it all feels as a viewer. But to me, and I don't want to make this into an Adam Silver love fest and say the NBA is doing everything right here, but it really didn't take that much away from me as a fan, maybe contrasting to what we watch with the Tigers each night, where it's really jarring that you watch every pitch and see and notice that there's no fans out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was the final piece to say Adam Silver and the NBA team, you know, hit a grand slam with this one. Everything I've seen from the several YouTube series out of Life in the Bubble, from the couple players who are doing those games tonight, and obviously the statistics of the amount of tests they've done with zero positive results, everything's been top notch and logistically just really planned out to a T, it looks like, and it's been executed flawlessly. For all I'm concerned, I mean, our biggest issue is a guy went out to get chicken wings so far, and a guy walked 50 feet over a line to pick up his Postmates order. So, I mean, if these are the big issues coming out of an experimental project the NBA is doing in real time during a global pandemic, this has been an unmitigated success. Now, that being said, we still have a long way to go, and there's a lot of things that could change, but the atmosphere is as well executed as it was tonight, and everything kind of leading up to this. The NBA, and we'll find out here, it looks like the NHL is kind of in that same situation. These guys have you know, done this right, and I think they should be applauded up until this point.
Yeah, it's something I've said throughout the shutdown as it leads up to it, though. And you're right, Adam Silver's done a great job. The NBA so far should get high marks for everything that they've been able to pull off, and hopefully – this continues as close to even as positive as it's been so far. But I will say that they had a lot easier task than, say, Major League Baseball, that had to put a whole season together. You've got to, you know, you can't just play in a bubble with a whole baseball season over an entire summer. Although maybe if they're only going to play a couple months, maybe it could have been done. I don't know. But and then football obviously is a whole different animal with the completely contact sport, 53 guys on each roster and training camps and all the injuries that are going to happen anywhere. But yeah, it's certainly a little bit easier of a task for the NBA to pull this off. But like you said, certainly an A in my book so far for what they've been able to do. And of course, the other, in addition to the pandemic, the other big societal topic right now is the Black Lives Matter movement, the protests that were going on in big cities. And all the talk was, at some point, it was whether the NBA should even play. And maybe would that halt the momentum of some of these movements. Instead, they decided, and hope, you know, in my mind, cooler heads kind of prevailed, and not that it was a bad thought to give that to some consideration, but it seemed to be a little bit of a compromise that they made, that they would honor the tribute and try to further the protests and try to make it into an addition to the social movements that are going on out there. We see Black Lives Matter, really big letters across the court. We saw the players all taking a knee during the national anthems for both of the games, and really well done national anthems they were. And of course the jerseys, the players putting messages or slogans or reminders of those that have passed before them about the movements that are going out. And I thought that was obviously really well done. So I want to give the players and the league high marks for all that, for all that it is, and how important of an issue it is. So I want to be very clear about that. But as a viewer, and keeping in mind, Brian and I are both white dudes from the suburbs, so maybe we are a little bit unqualified for any kind of context of this conversation. But I'll just say this as a lifelong NBA viewer, it's jarring, right? I mean, it's a lot, and that's, I know that's the point, and I know that's the reason, but it's just, it's you know, sometimes I just, I kind of, if there's a McMelly's out there for New Orleans, like, I don't know who that is at first glance. And if I can't look at his jersey and know what his name is, it's just, I don't know. And again, I'm happy they're doing it. It's mostly a great thing, but there is a little bit of a drawback there where it kind of takes you a little bit out of basketball. I remember late in the game, Lonzo Ball shooting a three-pointer from the corner. So I'm seeing Lonzo from behind. So I see his jersey, and obviously I can't read it because it's that long view of the camera. And I think it said equality on the back of his shirt. So it was a longer word than Ball. So I was like, okay, that's not Lonzo Ball because his name would be very short on his jersey. So that's somebody else, but no, that is Lonzo Ball. So just that kind of thing. And I know the positive far outweighs the negative in this, but Brian, do you agree with me that it was just like a little bit strange as a basketball fan just to be seeing that?
And to be clear, once again, we're coming at it from the side that we agree with all of these.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Support all of these causes
completely,
that we
completely.
Can possibly support. And if it seems
don't
like,
fire us, don't cancel us.
Right. Yeah. If it seems like we're overdoing making sure that we're softening the blow, that it was front and center. It was all over the place. And again, like you said, that's the point. I mean, we don't want to, it doesn't want to overshadow the cause. So it's doing its best to make the cause as big as it. And I certainly applaud that. But what I maybe kind of worry about is, will there be kind of a numbing effect to it as well when it's, you know, it's always on the screen? Do you think that there's a chance that we could become numb to what those causes and words actually mean?
You know, another thing that kind of struck me during this broadcast, and you mentioned the in-game interview with Doc Rivers that they did in the first half of the Clippers-Lakers game, pretty much all about social justice and what's going on outside of the court and outside of the bubble in Orlando, as it should be. But my argument would be that maybe just for especially the first night after the restart, I'm sure they got huge ratings for this Pelicans-Jazz game and this Lakers-Clippers game.
All the smart restarts have.
Yeah, absolutely. So why not just say, hey, you know, for the in-game broadcast for Van Gundy on the Stan Van Gundy there on the sidelines, and for Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan for the late game as well, why don't we do less of a broadcast that's talking about the game and say more about why does Dennis Mitchell or why does Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, why do they have this on their jersey? And just kind of, if it's going to be like, maybe the NBA could have figured out a way for TNT to do that. Like, I know I'm saying things out of two sides of my mouth that it was kind of jarring at first, but if you're going to go with that, especially with these first couple games, maybe you use that opportunity to explain what's happening to viewers. Like, and I know that a lot of these slogans and things that are on the back of the jerseys don't need a lot of explanation, obviously, but you know, maybe like, a different type of broadcast that kind of takes you completely out of the NBA day-to-day game. But I know that you'd have a lot of backlash on that too, because people want to return to the normalcy of basketball. But I don't know. I mean, and I'm not sitting here criticizing TNT or the NBA or saying that there's a lot of things that they had done wrong, but there's just a lot of different avenues that they could have gone down. And it's just kind of interesting the decisions that they made along the way.
I know where you're coming from. I would just wonder the type of and depth of conversation that those people specifically would be able to have on some of these issues. I'm not saying that I have, you know, and actually, you know, Stan Van Gundy has become kind of a sensation on Twitter over the last couple months. And a lot of that is with social issues. So I know he's well-versed in a lot of those ones. I'm not sure about the other guys, so I think that would have to play a pretty big role as to the types of conversations those people have. I mean, I don't want to assume their politics even, but also the depth of knowledge that they have on an issue that isn't generally under their purview.
That's right. Now, start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boodoo and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. All right, Brian, I think we got all the serious things out of the way here today, and you and I watch games and joke around just like everyone else does across the country with their family or their friends or whoever they're texting with during the games. But Brian, Of course, it's TNT Thursday inside the NBA, so most of the entertainment from the broadcast comes from Kenny and Ernie and Charles and Shaq and inside the NBA. But these guys, I mean, they've got like plexiglass between all of them, between them and the crew. They've got at least 6 feet of social distance between them. They got this crazy horizontal landscape look on the inside of the NBA. I mean, they're really sending the message that you should be safe when you're watching at home, right?
Absolutely. That was a wide landscape view. These are not small men up there either. So that took up, that was a wide lens to catch all those guys as far apart as they were. Like you'd said, the NBA actually, I was impressed with how they worked it in with the benches and to provide that depth to kind of give that normalcy of the view. But yeah, the TNT studio, that was a wide studio. I think they probably had to do some remodeling in that one between broadcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was nice to see each of the players had their own assigned seat, so you weren't, like, switching up with another player on your team when you were coming out and everything, too. But, of course, we were watching the game and joking like idiots do about some of the different messages that you could put on the back of your jerseys and maybe being, like, super local affairs, like super local issues, support proposal 2 or something like that. I mean, always good stuff. That's a thousand possibilities of different things you could put on the back of your jersey. What about you, Brian? Do you have any idea what you would put under the, I would say, somewhat unlikely scenario that you reach the NBA while they're still doing the messages in the back of their jerseys? Do you have something in mind that you might put back there?
Meh. But I mean, a lot of this, fortunately, doesn't affect my day-to-day lives. Now, I would like to see, you know, the equality. I we've been lucky enough to not really have, you know, many circles of closeness been affected by COVID right now. So luckily, I've been kind of a spectator in all of the things that have gone on over the last couple months, and that's a role I'd like to have. I mean, I'll get involved as much as I can to push these issues to a happier resolution, but yeah, I just don't, I've done a lot of time listening to making sure of keeping myself safe and hoping that we as a society can push towards more acceptance and all that, but luckily, I have been asked to sacrifice absolutely zero at this point. So, yeah, I think I would have the last name, I think, on the jersey overall, because I don't know that I'm qualified enough to take a stand. And it would feel to me disingenuous at that point.
Yeah, and I think it was Ingles or one of the white players on the court had ally on the back of his jersey. So I think that was a pretty... you know, recognizing the movement, but also kind of not a cop out, like you said, but like just kind of a way of saying, yes, I'm down with the movement, but I'm more of a listener and more of an ally and someone who can kind of pick my spots and contribute where I can. But again, these are times for suburban white folks like us to listen. I would put probably just Locked On Pistons in
the jersey,
just to promote the podcast so that everyone can listen to the great stuff we do here day in and day out. But thanks for listening to everyone. This is your host, Matt Shook, for the contributor to the show, Brian Shook. We really appreciate him dropping in and helping out so I didn't have to do a whole big script tonight on a Thursday night to end out this week. But you guys have a great weekend out there. Now, tell your smart device to listen to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.